No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the conversation by calling in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype your questions to BBSRADIOPR. We have a special guest tonight, but first, let me say happy birthday, Maria. It's been 6 years today that our show has been on the air. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And I thought about that earlier. I was thinking, that's a nice little legacy, 6 years. I've been part of it for three.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
And the most amazing thing is every time I see you, you look younger and younger. Whereas I'm getting old and decrepit. I don't understand that.
What a good politician you are.
It's great that we've been on the air this long, and thank you so much for we'll thank some other people at the end of the show, but thank you so much for your participation and making the show what it is today. It really has been amazing.
Thank you.
We have a couple of shout outs to do for new co-sponsors.
We have
Dean Phillips, who's Minnesota's 3rd District, Democrat from Minnesota's 3rd District, who's a co-sponsor, and Abby Finkenheimer, who is from Iowa, 1st District. And this brings us up to 203 co-sponsors in the House, the most we've ever had. We're only 14 shy of having a majority in the House. So that's great news. And it's great that we have Abby Finkenheimer, Congresswoman Finkenheimer, as a co-sponsor, because our guest tonight is an amazing woman named Tamara Harrison, who's from Iowa and helped start a group called Iowans for D.C. Statehood. And in case our listeners don't understand why this is important to have groups like Iowans for D.C. Statehood, part of our problem is that most of America doesn't know the situation we're in. So every time we get people outside the district to support us, it's really important. We can't bestow statehood upon ourselves, or we would have been a state long ago. Also, Iowa is particularly important because they're the first in the nation's caucuses. So there's so much attention focused on Iowa and the politics of Iowa during a presidential year that it gives us a lot more exposure for the issue. And there are a couple of these organizations, one in Nevada, for example, but the Iowans have been the most active. So Tamara, are you out there? Welcome to our show, and thanks so much for being on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to tell you, I am so grateful to our representative, newly one signing on, but I would be doing her a great disservice if I didn't point out it is actually Representative Abby Finkenauer.
Oh, what am I saying? Finkenheimer?
Finkenauer.
I'm so sorry. I can't read my own handwriting is the problem. I'm sorry.
I have the trouble too sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Representative Finkenauer. Here you've done us a great service, and I'm out there mispronouncing your name. I'm so sorry. So thanks for straightening us out. on that. And we should also point out that David Losak, Congressman David Losak from Iowa's 2nd District, is also a co-sponsor, which is two-thirds of the Democratic delegation from Iowa. So you guys have been pretty active and great in getting us co-sponsors, so we really appreciate that. We hope that we can get the third Democrat in there soon, and we don't have a lot of hope for Mr. King, unfortunately. He's not much of a D.C. lover. But thanks so much for what you do, and please tell us how it's going in Iowa.
Well, can we go back to the beginning?
I think it's going really well. Yeah.
How is it that you started this group in the first place? What motivated you? What was the deciding point? Was there something that happened that you went, okay, that's it, I'm not going to sit by and watch this just happen anymore?
Well, I initially had met Senator Strauss. I think he was the first one that came out here that I met.
Yeah.
And did an event for him, and it went really, really well. And I learned a lot more than I knew or realized, and it really kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little bit. And I said, maybe we should be doing something to help out. So we decided to do a resolution at the county level, which is where I was working at the time, passing a resolution in favor of it, and worked on it up through the caucuses and convention. It wasn't long after that first meeting, I had the pleasure of having also Senator Brown and Congressman Garcia out, along with Strauss, and that was right around caucus, wasn't it, Senator?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Let me tell you, the people of Iowa, if there's lovelier people on the face of the planet, I've never met them.
And when was Tanner. This? What year?
16.
2016.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so recently.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of kept it in the forefront. I started a website, Iowans for DC Statehood, started a Twitter account, and I've been keeping it kind of, in the front burner and on people's minds, and making sure that we were reaching out to people at convention time and making sure this resolution was not only at the county level, but it was being passed at the district and state level as well. And we went from being at the third district in 2016. We had a presence in all four districts in the state of Iowa for the district conventions in 2018, and a lot more enthusiasm, and it was building. And we're at the point where I think we're seeing this momentum from Washington, and it's really reinvigorating people here and lighting that fire, saying, hey, this is the time, and it's past time. And if we don't stand up, who will? And we're in such a unique position in Iowa to be able to bring a highlight to this issue and make sure that it's in the conversation in the 2020 presidential campaign.
And, the Iowa caucuses are an amazing, amazing thing. I've never seen anything that represents democracy at the grassroots level any better than the caucuses. They're, people come together and they discuss the different positions that candidates have. People line up behind their candidates. If they can't reach a consensus, then one group gets to talk to another group to try to convince them to vote for their candidates. And if there's a tie, they flip a coin. I can't tell you, or cut a deck of cards. I can't tell you how this blows me away, because in Washington, if there was a tie, we would bring in scores of lawyers and constitutional law experts, and we'd be threatening to sue each other. And I mean, it's just wonderful how Iowans get along. And I got to tell you, I went to get a resolution passed at a caucus, and when I got there, they allowed me to speak. Even though I'm from Washington, D.C., I wasn't sure they would even let me address the issue. We put a resolution forth. I wasn't sure they would let me address it, because it's not an issue that, is directly connected to Iowa. But they did. And when I started, there were a few people that were against the idea. And after I got to speak, we had a unanimous – They passed the resolution in my caucus unanimously. So it was a great experience for me. And I'm coming back. I'm coming back in 2018, I can tell you that. So,
Tamara, have you always been politically active?
Actually, no. I started, I guess, my professional life at 17. I started working for Osco Drug, and I worked my way up to general manager for them, and that's, in fact, what brought me to Iowa in 1997. Now, I voted, but I wasn't politically active, nothing like what Iowans are. And I actually accidentally fell into getting involved because of when I left Osco Drug in 2002 when they left Iowa. And I stayed here because I love Iowa, and I did not want to leave. And was looking for that next big thing, and I was working for a gentleman up at the workforce development here, and he was the treasurer for the Polk County Democrats. And I worked for him for about a year, and about, I think it was 6 or 8 months into that, their executive director for Polk County was leaving, and he said, you know what, you should do this job, you could do this. And I thought he was crazy, because I'd never had any experience in that, and what do you know, 13 years, you know, and before you know it, I'd put 13 years in that position, so.
Wow, that's a story.
Right, and you obviously have the skills to do this, to be in politics, Tamara. You know, I've met you. You're gracious, and you know, you're a real people person, and that's really what it takes. So, besides DC statehood, I know that's a big issue for you, and we're so thankful for that. What are the other big issues today in Iowa? We know that all the presidential candidates, all 32,000 Democratic presidential candidates, have been coming to Iowa. So, what is the big? What are the big issues for Iowans right now? Are they different than just things like jobs and healthcare, or are those the big issues out there?
Those are still big. I mean, I think healthcare is probably one of, if not the biggest. And, you know, the different candidates have different ideas on what we need to do in that area. Universal healthcare, you hear a lot, Medicare for all, different varying levels of that. Also, minimum wage is a big one you hear people talk about quite a bit right now, especially you're either whether they're $15 minimum wage or, you know, or less than that, but still more than where we're at. Another one, climate change, very big here in Iowa. And yeah, I would say those are probably the three biggest right now.
Well, let me ask you about climate change for a minute, because I just came from a worldwide conference in Portugal, and it certainly was at the top of the agenda there. But is it a big issue in Iowa because it's affecting farming, or is it, you know, just is it having a profound effect on farmers in Iowa? Do you know?
Well, I think it's a part of it being that we're a Midwestern state, and you know, we're very conscious of the land. Obviously, we do have a lot of farm and ag as a big part of our industry here and the people here. And so anything that affects that affects not just them, but everybody. I, you know, of course, this can affect water quality as well. And, of course, water quality affects everybody. You know, so it's not just to a small group of people. I think everybody from urban to suburban to rural, areas really understand the importance and how it's all interconnected and why this is such a big issue to all of us.
Yeah, even here in Washington. Go ahead, Maria.
Tamara, I'm curious about back to Iowans for statehood. How political is it for you in Iowa? Is it also along party lines like it appears to be nationally?
Well, that's what I'm fighting against. You know, not all of the people in my party have always appreciated this. Some do and some don't. But I started a youth caucus here back in 2013. Unfortunately, they don't do it anymore. But I went to my Republican counterpart, and I said, hey, I have this idea, and we started something. And I ended up developing relationships not just with him, but his predecessor or, the next executive director, the chairs of the other party, And then finally the Secretary of State's office in 2015 when we pulled off this youth caucus, not just in Polk County, but in 24 counties across the state in one night.
Wow.
And
we
even had
amazing.
One of those. Yeah, and one of those students even went on to be a national delegate. So I was able to develop these relationships, and I've always, you know, I appreciate you said I'm a people person. I do try to get along with everybody and be empathetic and understand, you know, different sides of things. And I think that makes it unique for me to be able to do this, because I think it's so important that we find a way to have those conversations outside of the Democratic Party with independents, with Republicans. And they may not understand or agree on this issue, but finding out why that is and having the conversation to figure out what it's going to, you know, what we need to do to move the needle, and including them in the fight.
So would you say that it's ecumenical, your organization in Iowa, or is it also mostly Democrat?
Right now it is mostly Democrat. But again, I even last night when I was at the Fox News town hall, I had on my 51 Now statehood button. I had on my 51 pin there from D.C. And I had conversations, and I was very outnumbered. There were a lot of Republicans in the room, as you can imagine. And, you know, but we had conversations. And in fact, Gloria Meza, who was the former ED of Polk County, was there also. And we talked about being, you know, my sister from another party. But we talked about statehood and, you know, getting together, or maybe possibly, you know, that I would like to get together with a group of Republicans and sit down and have that conversation like I was talking about, because we need to increase that. We need Republicans on board in order to be truly a nonpartisan. And I think also to finally get this issue moving and to make this happen. It's something we have to figure out a way to do.
Well,
and I would think,
right.
Wouldn't you think, Michael, too, in Iowa, if, Tamara, you could accomplish that on a grassroots level in your state, that then could be the leader for how you get into this conversation and go across the aisle and create a conversation, not a conflict, about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll, you know, there's lots of issues. I'm going to give one example, same-sex marriage. It started in one state that passed it in the country, then a couple more states, including Iowa, and then a few more, and then the next thing you know, it snowballs. You hit this certain level where suddenly everybody is, and it started because, you know, one state was brave enough to say, this is what's right. Now, of course, I understand not everybody's going to agree necessarily on that issue, because, again, I know I'm trying to talk to Republicans and independents as well, so I try to be mindful of that, but I think it's the same with any issue that's really important and is a big change. It's important to have the buy-in at the grassroots level from the states. And so right now we're even doing a petition asking our state legislature to pass a resolution in favor of D.C. statehood and getting elected officials at the state level to sign on as supporters. Now, we haven't got any Republicans yet, but that doesn't mean that I've given up on them. And I've had some that have actually said they're willing to sit down and talk with me. Not till after session is over, which hopefully will be early May. So,
well, you know, we're doing the same thing here, Tamara, and we haven't been any more successful at it. But Puerto Rico put in a statehood bill during the last Congress. I don't think they put in one yet this time. But we went to the House of Representatives, where they had 8 Republicans sign on to the Puerto Rico bill, and we've been lobbying them. We're like, you know, you need to sign on to the D.C. bill. How can you sign on to the Puerto Rican bill and not sign on to the D.C. bill? And we've had some interesting conversations. Don Young, congressman from Alaska, for example, and I sat down and had a real meaningful conversation. And we've had some Republicans that say absolutely not, but we've had other Republicans that say, we're willing to sit down and talk to you, and that's certainly a start. And, you know, I think so, you make such an important point when you talk about how you never know what's going to happen, and it happens in one state, then it moves to another state. You know, people are often surprised to find out Wyoming, for example, was the first state to let women vote, you know, because we think of them as a conservative state. Very often, you get what you don't expect if you try. And that's one of the things we really like about your organization, is that you really try. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add too that, you know, one of the things I try to do whenever I'm talking to them, the biggest argument or the most common argument I get is, oh, it's just the liberals or the Democrats wanting two more votes in the Senate and another vote in Congress. That's all it is. And I point out to them, and I have said this in front of my Democratic groups when I've talked to them too, I don't care if they were 70% Republican. You know, our country was founded because our founding fathers did not believe that people should live under taxation without representation. We fought against that. We formed a country. We set up a government for the people. And it's not serving all of the people, not fairly, not equally. And I think that's very, very important. And I truly believe that. I truly in my heart believe that even if, you know, it was a majority Republican district, I would fight just as strongly, because otherwise, you know, we're all Americans first. And we have to recognize that the party issue divides us way more now than I think it ever has. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse, and getting back to being Americans first and being able to have the conversations and discuss issues, not based on which party it's going to benefit, but is it right?
Well, you know, I certainly agree with you. Certainly in my 40 years of politics, I haven't seen such divisiveness along party lines as I see now. It's also important to point out on the same line of thinking that this has always been the argument. You know, when Hawaii and Alaska were to become states, they argued that Alaska would never elect a Republican and Hawaii would never elect a Democrat. And of course, today and actually for many years, there's only been one Democrat, I think, elected in Alaska. And in Hawaii's all Democrats. I don't know if there's a Republican in Hawaii. So those things change over time. You know,
absolutely.
It's not static. Yeah.
And Tamara, what you just said is why I feel the same way that you do. And I am a Republican, but I'm American. And it's just like I'm a Christian, but I'm a Catholic. So I go back to, what's the higher purpose? What was the original intention? What does this mean for the common good? Not whether it's a Democrat or Republican issue. It's an American issue.
Exactly. And you know, that's really the nexus of this show, is that one of the reasons that I wanted Maria as my co-host is that, you know, I'm a Democratic man on the East Coast and she's a Republican woman on the West Coast. And as Maria says many, many times, we agree on more things than we disagree. And that's what we're trying to, you know, say to America. Let's meet each other on the things we agree about, and it's okay to disagree.
Right.
But, you know, let's.
And it's how you disagree. Do you get pejorative? Do you get personal? Do you get insulting? Do you get condescending? Do you get hateful? Or do you have a spirited, intellectual, not personal discussion that doesn't escalate into an argument?
Well, and I think also being able to recognize that moment in a conversation where, you know what, I truly respect you. I truly respect your opinion and where you're at on this. But, you know, obviously we disagree, and that's okay. That's what makes our country great.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, maybe we should revisit this another time.
Yep.
Well, and you know that, Tamara, I've got to tell you, I think is what you just said, I think is the most important point. I just came back from this international conference in Portugal where I did a session with a Republican senator from Maryland. After the session, somebody said to me, you know, you guys spoke so nicely to each other. And, you know, I really respect that. And I said to them, what I always do when I interact with a Republican that I disagree with is I find something first that I can respect about that person. And I try to keep that in mind. And, you know, this guy was a graduate of the Naval Academy and a former Marine before he was elected. And, you know, I have great respect for veterans. So I speak to him respectfully because I respect that about him, even when I disagree with him. And so I think what you said about finding that common thing in people is so very important. Let me ask you, Senator Strauss was just out there. Can you talk to us about what you got, what he was doing out there and what you guys did?
I'm sorry, Senator, which one?
Strauss.
There's so many of them. Strauss. Oh, okay. I thought you said Strauss. A different name.
You remember.
It didn't sound like Strauss. And I'm like, wait, is there somebody else running for president I don't know about?
I couldn't figure out a Finkenauer from Finkenheimer, you know, maybe it's safe. But go ahead. Yeah, I know that Senator Strauss was out there. And were you guys passing resolutions, or what were you doing?
Well, he came out here. We were doing an event, kind of kicking off a revamp, if you will, and escalation of our organization. We have several new board members, and we wanted to, you know, kind of introduce them and introduce what our plans are for this next presidential cycle. And so it was really fortunate to have him to. Yeah. To, you know, be a name for us there and a connection to D.C. And I think people really appreciated, you know, hearing from him, too. And it was a great event. We had, a former city councilman there. We had the president of South Central Iowa Federation of Labor. We had a former Iowa Democratic Party chair. We had one young man from, he said from Grinnell College, but he actually starts at Grinnell College this fall. But just a wonderful young man who was so enthusiastic, wants to do anything he can to help. And, you know, we just really enjoyed that and being able to talk about our plans for, you know, the petition and getting our state legislature to sign the resolution and urging the rest of our federal delegation to also support D.C. statehood, which I know we probably only have the option with one right now, but, you know, that's still conversations that we could have. I was hoping I'd get a chance to talk to Senator Ernst last night, actually, but I didn't get a chance to get close to her. So,
well, you know, just for your edification, she's one of the people we met with. Meet with her, we met with her chief of staff here in Washington. But she's one of the co-signers of the Republican. I mean, she's one of the co-signers of the Puerto Rican bill, the former Puerto Rican bill, supporter of that idea. I'm sorry, I'm misspeaking. She didn't sign on to the bill because it's not in the Senate, but her people expressed interest in the Puerto Rican bill. So she's somebody we talked to. We know she's a veteran, and I come from a veteran family, and her people were some of the people that sat down and talked to us and said they didn't commit to support, but they were, but they did commit to have a conversation. So,
well, and that's huge because, I mean, you know, you're not going to get that from, let's say, another representative.
So. Yeah, that's true. And you know what? As long as we're on the subject, as long as I brought it up, I should say that Senator Strauss just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Senator Strauss, if you're out there listening. He is the senior senator from the District of Columbia, which delights me no end because he's 10 years younger than I am. So I love it.
Since 1996, right?
Yeah, 1996. Yeah. He's been in there a long time. I'm a newcomer. I've only been there for 12 and a half years. He's been there a lot longer. So happy birthday, Senator Strauss. They had a big party for him here in Washington the other day.
I just wanted to talk about the cattle call, as they called it this week in the district, with some of the presidential candidates, and that the senator from Minnesota talked about one of her priorities in her first 100 days is statehood for the District of Columbia. And you'd think you would grab those sound bites and, you know, I mean, there's momentum. And Eleanor Holmes Norton, who was a guest recently on our program, she said last month that there's more progress that's been made in the last 3 months than in 218 years. Absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of, I think what, Tamara, what you were talking about, that paradigm shift, I think mm-hmm. that's what's happening now.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
There's a momentum that's going on.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's not only Klobuchar, it's also Warren, Bernie right. Sanders,
right.
Kamala Harris, Cory right. Booker, all these
and Chuck Schumer and Chuck Nancy Pelosi.
Right, and Nancy Pelosi. There's all this momentum. And you know, we had recently also we also had Marianne Williamson on the show. She was on last week, as a matter of fact, and you know, she's on CNN doing a town hall tonight. And I'd like to point out, before she went to CNN, she came to Shadow Politics. But anyway, you know, and she is also a supporter and was very emphatic about it. You know, that's the nice thing, that we're seeing these people not hemming and hawing about it. Nancy Pelosi and the House passed House Resolution 1, which has several paragraphs in it in support of D.C. statehood, and it's the first time the House has ever passed a piece of legislation that addresses D.C. statehood directly. So,
yeah, that was huge. Yep.
Yeah, it was huge. And so tell me, now, Tamara, you know Marianne Williamson. We had a picture of the two of you on online this week as we were announcing that you were going to be on the show. I just found her so interesting. I really did.
She was fascinating.
Yeah, she was fascinating.
Almost reverential.
Yeah, and I tell you something, I am impartial or you know, undecided. I'm not picking anybody. But I will say this, everybody and anybody who has any interest in politics needs to hear her, because whether you think she's the one for you or not, she has a message that I would love for, you know, a lot of these other candidates to pick up as well. As far as what's needed within the party, and, you know, just a kind of getting back to roots and an awakening. And I think it's so powerful. I don't do it justice by talking about it, and I don't want to mess it up, but I highly recommend everybody to get the chance to see her if they can.
Well
she's
you know,
in CNN's town hall this evening, if people yeah. are listening to us yeah. live.
Yeah. Well, I think she's over now. They moved her up to 6 o'clock. So I watched her here in Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. But let me tell you that's exactly what I said. I think she has an important voice. That's exactly what I said on the show. Immediately after the show, I made a small contribution to her campaign. And you should know that if she gets, I think, 65,000 contributions, she'll be a part of the debate. And let me say, I'm not endorsing any candidate, but certainly at this point. But I would encourage people to give her a dollar. She needs to be heard. Go on her website and let's make sure she's a voice in the campaign, because I think, just like you said, Tamara, she's an important voice and she has an important message. Maria, your turn to talk.
I'm just curious, Tamara, what you think you can do with the momentum that seems to be occurring to change business as usual, one with the bipartisanship part of it, and two, do you see this in Iowa as a male-female thing at all, or is it gender blind?
Well, first part, I'm going to just say I think it's gender blind. I don't or haven't experienced that as being an issue. As far as what we can do here, you know, as you know, first in the nation, caucus state, plus I live in the capital county of the caucus state, and we have all these candidates coming through. I've got pictures with Beto O'Rourke, Tim Ryan, and Marianne Williamson and Amy Klobuchar. I've gotten pictures with all of them wearing our 51 Now button, so, you know, they're very much supporting. And I keep posting those as I get them. I've got three more I'm scheduled to get this week. So, you know, like I post on one of them, you know, three down, 20 to go. But they've all been very, very, very supportive. In fact, at the house party I was at for Beto O'Rourke, they even, one of their people even grabbed a clipboard of theirs and took some of my petitions, and they were helping me get signatures.
Really?
From all of the people there. So I, you know, they, and everybody, again, so far has been very supportive, and I really appreciate that. But the thing that's so important and how I'm hoping that we can help move this is that we have a ton of press following these, the different presidential candidates around. And so when we're there, frequently and with our clipboard and with our buttons and handing out buttons and bringing up DC statehood, and not just with the candidate, but with all the people in the room, it gets noticed, and it can get noticed. And I think people are, I think that's a part of why we're getting so many more hits on some of our stuff on social media and, some recognition, with doing different interviews and things, is that, it's keeping it front and center and letting people know this is something that Iowa is paying attention to.
Well, and again, that is so important, because we know from a poll that was done, a dozen years ago, that 80% of America doesn't understand the situation that we're in. You know, why would you think that the people of the nation's capital are, you know, the citadel of democracy, are denied the same democratic rights as everybody else? So to get it on the national stage, which you obviously are doing a great job of, Tamer, and we really appreciate it, to get it on the national stage, to make it part of the presidential discussion, which gets attention nationwide, is so important to us. And you know, it was a few years ago that I think the first time Obama ran, that it was actually a question at the presidential debates, and we're trying to get it again as a question, the presidential debate. And you know who answered it the best, Maria? The best answer to the question of do you believe in DC statehood was Mike Huckabee. He just said absolutely. He said the district should be a state. It's the only way to fully resolve them and make them equal. And you know, other people that were asked the question, some of them were against it. One candidate even said if they don't like it, they should move to Maryland, which we couldn't believe.
I've heard that.
But Huckabee, you know, was very straightforward, and you know, now if we could just get him to believe in evolution, we'd be on a roll.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, pick your battles. You know what? A friend is a friend, right?
Exactly.
Right. Well, and if I could say something real quick.
Yeah, please.
One of the other goals with our organization, and what I think is going to be so critical, is education. Because even when I'm getting the petition and I briefly tell people what it's about, I end up in these long conversations with people now and again where they just had no idea. They don't understand, or they didn't think that way, or they think that DC is represented, or they didn't know how many people, or, I mean, there's all kinds of different aspects there. And so, you know, I've scheduled speaking engagements with different neighborhood groups, and now with other counties around the state as well, where, you know, I'm going to be getting out there and making sure people even understand, because I think maybe that has been part of the issue too, is that there's people that really don't get, you know, over 700,000 people, that they don't get that there's no representation, that, you know, they don't even think about the hypocrisy of why we were founded and what's going on with our country today. And I, quite honestly, how that looks to the international community as well.
Oh, yeah, well, believe me.
And Michael, could you speak to that, if you don't mind, about what the Portugal trip was about and for, and how that is perceived on a global basis?
Yes, and you know what? In a couple of weeks, we'll go into detail with this, because we're going to have some students that actually were sent there from a university to cover the whole 3.5-day conference. four-day conference, so we'll go into detail. But on the issue of statehood, yes, they're stunned. They really don't understand why this is the case, because we're the only country in the world, the only democracy in the world that does this. So it really is, they have lots and lots of questions. And just like you said, Tamara, when you get into the discussion, then they want to sit down with you and talk about it. And at first, they really don't, it's hard for them to even grasp what you're saying. They ask questions like, well, what do you mean? You're a senator,
right. but
you don't have a vote. And you're like, yeah, I don't have a vote. And they go, well, is that on certain issues that you don't have a vote? No, I don't have any vote. I'm not actually recognized by Congress. Well, your office is in the Capitol. What do you do? No, my office is in City Hall. And they say, what do you mean your office is in City Hall? I mean, it's really just like that. And actually, even domestically, I lectured a few years ago, a room full of college presidents. Now, there wasn't a person in the room that didn't have a doctorate degree, not one person. Uh-huh. And they understood that we didn't have representation. But when it came to things like not being able to spend our own tax money without approval, right, they didn't get it. And they'd say things like, well, you mean the money that the federal government gives you? And I go, no, our local taxes. And they say, oh, but not your property taxes. You get to spend your property taxes on schools. And no, not without the approval of Congress. I had to say it 3 or 4 times, even for them to get it. So, yeah, it really... you really start a conversation with people when you mention that. And of course, lots of people in foreign countries love the topic because the United States goes around the world preaching democracy to everybody. So, for example, now this isn't international, but every year I lecture at Johns Hopkins to a group of Chinese students. They always have me lecture to the Chinese students, and the Chinese students love it because we're always telling the Chinese how bad they are at human rights. So they love to hear this subject matter. And that's why I go to these international conferences, and this is why Paul and I belong, and Franklin belong to UNPO, which is the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organizations of the World. We're the first members in the Western Hemisphere, I think. I think there may be one member in South America, but certainly we're the first North American members. And that's exactly why we do it. We do it because we need to spread the word. And,
is it taught in civics classes in grade school?
In D.C.? Yes, but even in D.C., it's not taught. We're fighting now with the University of the District of Columbia. We're trying to get a course taught at the University of the District of Columbia. And they're being receptive, but we're saying to them, nobody should graduate with a degree from our state university here in Washington, D.C., without a full understanding of this situation because it's so unique. And hopefully we're going to be able to sell that argument to them. So,
well, and something that's been brought up in the presidential, as you're listening to a lot of the presidential candidates, as I do when they're going around, civics is something that isn't, unfortunately, taught in every school and in every place. I think that's something that's missing, teaching our kids how to be civically engaged, why they should be civically engaged, and the importance of it, and understanding our history, because knowing your history, knowing where you came from to know where you're going and not repeat the same mistakes, that's important. And they're not getting that everywhere.
That's right.
And, but they would have a frame of reference if it was taught throughout the United States so that when we have these conversations, we all have the same verbiage that we're using instead of the education part and the awareness. Because I think what happens, like in the example, Michael, you were sharing, there's a disconnect that happens at some point because people keep saying, that doesn't make sense. This is the United States. That cannot be. Because logically, it doesn't work, even though in practice, it's true.
Even our elected officials here in Washington, Maria, we had an editorial written in today's paper by a member of the city council and our attorney general about Congress interfering with one of our laws. And they talk about voting rights instead of statehood. And they say things like, we need to ask Congress. We don't need to request from Congress. It says Congress should allow us to do our job. Congress shouldn't allow, we should demand that Congress, Thomas Jefferson said that these were rights given us by God, not given us by Congress. They were taken away by Congress. But according to Jefferson, if you believe what he said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we're all created equal. And we're certainly not created equal here in Washington. Let me ask you, Tamara, is there anything, because we're starting to run out of time here, is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet? Go ahead.
I have one thing, and, we've been talking a lot about what we're doing in the education and getting around and talking to people in the petition, but we have a very fun, very exciting thing planned for later this year. And, want to let people know about it. And we're really going to try to get the word out a lot more as we finalize the details. But we are going to be participating in RAGBRAI. And we are going to have a team riding in RAGBRAI from Council Bluffs all the way across the state to Keokuk. If you're not familiar with RAGBRAI, it is a huge bicycling event across the state over many days, over an entire week. And people dip one tire into the Missouri River right across the state and dip their other tire into the Mississippi. Wow. And we have hosts in all of the layover cities, and we're going to be having a team riding and wearing Riding for Representation RAGBRAI shirts.
Wow.
And have booths at each of the different locations along the path at the overnights. And so we're looking for volunteers to help with that during that week. We're looking for people who want to ride, whether it's for one day, 2 days, or the entire week. It doesn't matter. And, so that's something we're really going to be pushing. But Riding for Representation, RAGBRAI 2019.
And when is that?
It's that July. It actually starts in Council Bluffs on July 20th. And ends in Keokuk on July 27th.
Wow. Well, maybe
is
Senator
it sponsored
Strauss
by the state or an organization or
The Des Moines Register, I believe, started it. It's Des Moines Register's event.
Well, maybe Senator Strauss and I ought to come out there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we get a bicycle built for two?
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff you see. You can't even imagine. This thing is so huge. And there was one, I didn't get to see it, but my husband told me about it because he rides it. And there was a group that actually had a picnic table with bicycles built in. There was a picnic table in the middle, 8 bicycles. They had a TV and cooler in the center, and they'd pedal, and one person was steering. And
you see this contraption
going down the road.
You need to get us that information because I don't know if Senator Strauss and I could bicycle across Iowa, but we certainly could eat across Iowa.
Well,
I'm sorry, what?
You can go in the leader vehicle that helps people who need assistance or water or, nourishment. You don't have to be arduous and actually bicycle it.
Well, I'd bring my Harley out there, but I'm not sure that Senator Strauss would sit on the back of it.
I don't think you want that either.
You can't have anything motorized on RAGBRAI. No motors.
No motors. Okay.
No motors. Nope.
Well, I'm sure I can't get Senator Strauss to push me on the Harley. I'm sure that's not going to happen. But, wow, that's great. And I'm serious. Send us some information. We'll put it up on our website at BBS Radio. And also, if we can figure out a way for one of us to attend or both of us to attend some of your events, we should do that because that's a really great idea, Tamara. And that's one of the things that we like about your organization and that we try to do all the time is we try to be creative about this stuff and think outside the box because we think that's very important.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure, too, that anybody listening knows this not invitation. You know, I'm not just, you know, asking the delegation to come out there. Anybody, you know, any D.C. resident who wants to come out and be a part of this with us and celebrate. I mean, that's something, you know, we want to invite and let them know that this is going on and any support they want to give. They can't come out, but they want to buy a T-shirt when we put those available online that would help to support the team. That would be appreciated as well. So.
Well,
so lots of opportunities to participate.
And since we're on that note, why don't you give us what your website is so people can get on your website. You guys
Absolutely.
Have a website.
Absolutely. It's iowansfordcstatehood.com. And that's all spelled out, iowansfordcstatehood.com. iowansfordcstatehood.com.
Well, nice. That's great. And we so much appreciate you being on the show. Maria, do you have any more questions for our guest, Tamara? And by the way, Tamara, you are on the show, which is actually the anniversary. Today is the anniversary, the six-year anniversary of our show. We started this on April 14th, 2013. So... thanks for being on such a special show for us.
Absolutely. I think that's very appropriate. That's great.
And I'm curious, what keeps you going, Tamara? Because for 218 years, the struggle has been going on, and now you've joined it in recent history. How do you keep your enthusiasm and your momentum and not get discouraged?
Well, first, right now it's kind of easy because there is a lot of momentum and there's a lot of things happening, but... Even before that, I think it's just I've always believed in doing what's right. And doesn't mean what's right's not always easy, but doing what's right is what's right. And it's something that, this really touched me, really surprised me. I'm very patriotic, and it bothers me even that this is happening. And if we don't stand up and do something, if I don't stand up and do something, who will? And if I can motivate anybody else to do the same, as many as I can, maybe it'll make a difference. And we're already seeing so many more people standing up and saying, you know, no, this is not right. And it's just amazing. And it's amazing to be a part of. And I will stay in it until it's done.
And well, this is not your day job, right?
No. I actually do have a day job. I do have a day
right.
job.
This is your so passion.
This is what I do with my free time, yeah.
As the founder and director.
I have no life. I mean.
Well, let's leave it on
it's
that
like
note.
Michael and all the compensation he gets for being senator.
Well, I get to talk to you and Tamara. That's enough compensation
well,
for me. And you know what? So let's leave it on that note, Tamara. Mark Twain said, you're never wrong to do the right thing. And thank you so much for doing the right thing. And thanks for being with us. And we hope to talk to you again before we get to the bicycle thing. We'll have you back on or afterwards to let us know how it goes. And please stay in touch with I know you will. We're in touch with you all the time. And we're going to try. Let me see what my calendar looks like in July. That sounds really exciting.
It's
I don't know that I can
exciting.
Make it.
Maria, are you going to come out for it?
I'd love to. So,
I mean, Maria, are you in?
I would love to be there, especially at the finish line.
Oh, that's the party. Kia Cook is the party. Yeah.
How did
well, that's
I know
where,
that?
That's me and Maria. We're all about the party. So thanks again, Tamara. Hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you. Nice
thank you for
you,
your
Maria.
Time,
thank
Tamara.
You.
What an inspiration you are.
Oh, thank you. All right.
Okay, and now America, we're gonna, you know, we always do a song at the end of the show. This goes out to our special guest Tamara, but it also goes out to Maria Sanchez, Kathleen Gomez, Deborah Amerson, Don Newsom, Doug Newsom, and Karen Sulgett, and all our loyal listeners, who many of whom have been with us for the past 6 years. God bless you all for listening. Here's one from the Fab Four. Thanks. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
Give the people their right to vote.